Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, September the 1st, 1985, the first Sunday of our new Sunday school year. We thank God for each one of you. Trust this service will be a blessing as you listen to it by means of this tape. We love you. This time we'd like to turn Brother Tom and the choir loose here to sing our choir number. I made enough mistakes already, I guess, this morning. They do have a wonderful song today that says, "Press along to glory land." And I thank God we're on our way up there. We'll be having some prayer requests before Brother Mike comes to read our scripture after the choir number. There was an old missionary who came back from the mission field. He had lost his wife and family. They all died. And he came back to the good old USA on the same ship that President Roosevelt came back on. And they had a welcoming party there for the president. And no one was there to meet the missionary. In prayer that night, the Lord seemed to say to him, "Son, you're not home yet." I believe when a Christian goes home that there are bound to be a welcoming party, a welcoming meeting. Press along to Glory Land. There's a crown waiting for us. We do want to welcome each one of you. I believe we have some visitors today. We're glad to have this nice couple there on the pew with Brother and Miss Parson and Janet. Glad to have you all with us all the way from the fine state of Ohio. Trust the Lord will give us a wonderful service today. As Brother, we'd like to ask Brother White to come to read our scripture for us and lead us in prayer. We'd like to mention these prayer requests. Probably all of you know by now that Lucas Robinson's funeral will be at 11 o'clock tomorrow at the Hilton Church. And we were up there last night for a short service, and trust you'll be praying for this family. My prayer is that Lucas's death will cause others of our young people who are saved to get on fire for the Lord, and those who are not saved to get saved. Come to know the Lord, as we believe Lucas put his faith and trust in the Lord. They're in the St. Joseph Hospital. Let's be praying also for Anna Campbell. Anna's daughter called us again just a day or so ago. And Anna's still in the hospital in North Carolina. Let's be praying for her. Also, Fanny Davis, she got to come home yesterday afternoon from the hospital in Lexington. Glad to have Vasa with us again today, and I know the Lord's continuing to give her strength and courage and grace. Be praying for these others listed here in the bulletin. And this time we'll ask Brother White to come and read our scripture and lead us in prayer.
Scripture today is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, and not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wherefore I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, by the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this another beautiful Sabbath day and for all who have come out to your house today. We pray your blessings upon us this morning. We thank you for the Sunday school. We thank you for our church service. We pray that you would be with Brother James as he speaks to us this morning and continue to speak to our hearts. Cause us to look to Jesus for everything that we need. Help us, Father, to look at our lives and see if we are on the right track. Help us, Father, to make the decisions that you would have us to make. Today, Father, for those that are mentioned in our bulletin that are sick and afflicted, for those who have lost their loved ones, we pray for them this morning that you would be with them and bless them, Father. We pray that you would comfort them in the knowledge that these have gone on before. We thank you, Father, for the witness of the ones that was mentioned here that has gone. We pray, Father, for him and all of his friends. We pray, Father, that his memory would be a witness to those around about him for time to come. We pray now, Father, for Brother James as he goes into surgery next week. We pray, Father, that you would guide the hands of the surgeon, that you would be with Brother James and continue to look to you for guidance. We pray, Father, that your will would be done in everything that we undertake in this building here today and throughout our coming week. We pray that you would continue to lead and guide us, and we would not forget, Father, to thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, for the last hymn, let's turn to page 294 and let's sing the first and last verses of "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart."
For this Lord's Day. We thank you, dear God, for the privilege of being here. We thank you for all the many blessings, Lord, you've bestowed upon us. We thank you, dear God, for everything that you've done for us. Most of all, we thank you for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
We just pray, dear God, for this service today, and we pray now for this offering. We just pray, dear God, that it would be given freely, that it might be used, Lord, that someone could come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just pray, dear God, for Brother James as he would speak to us this morning, Lord. We pray that you would use him and speak through him, that we might be drawn closer to you today, Lord. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
song says, "Is my master satisfied with me?" I trust he is satisfied with each one of us. This time we would like the Gardeners to come and sing one of my favorite songs entitled, "He Wrote My Name."
Looked around a little bit ago, thought I was going to recruit a couple more singers, and one of them refused, another retired, looks like.
Blessed Savior wrote my name when I was born again. He wrote it when He saved my soul. He wrote that I had made right my every sinful wrong. He wrote my name on heaven's roll.
He wrote my name
way up in glory land.
He saved my soul.
Jesus saved my soul.
From sin and shame.
Song. About 30 years ago, the Lord wrote my name up there in that Lamb's Book of Life. And it's still there, and it's going to be there throughout eternity, I believe. I trust your name is up there in that Lamb's Book of Life. I believe Lucas's name was inscribed there back in May. And I stopped by the St. Joseph Hospital and visited with him. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Today we're going to be looking at the word unashamed. Unashamed. We do not need to be ashamed of the Lord. And the verse that Brother White read for us, had the words, "Be not ashamed," or "I am not ashamed," at least two or three times. The Lord is not ashamed of us. He wasn't ashamed to walk the way to Calvary, carrying a cross. He wasn't ashamed to be nailed to that cross and it to be lifted between heaven and earth. And to give His blood. I believe He gave every drop of blood He had in His body for us. After the resurrection, Jesus said, "Come and handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have. His blood had been shed. And that's what makes an offering for our sins. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And Jesus gave His blood. I've already given some blood over to the hospital yesterday. I'm ready to be admitted at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. A lady gave me a verse among many that I'm going to take with me, and that is Psalm 34 and verse 4. We'll just get on a sidetrack here just a moment. Psalm 34, 4 says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Delivered me from all my fears. We've already had the homebound classes for next week. We had a double dose this past Friday to the homebound people. The lesson for next week has in it a verse, Philippians 4:6, which has been one of my favorites a long time. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the very next verse says, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Today you and I don't need to be anxious about anything. But we need to refer everything to God in prayer. We don't need to be ashamed of Jesus. I had a speech class when I was going to college, and we had to choose a song and memorize a song and quote that song, not sing it, but quote it to the other members of the speech class. I remember the song that I chose by Isaac Watts. It says, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil and endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Isaac Watts says we don't need to blush to speak the name of Jesus. We need to be glad that we're able to speak the name of Jesus, the one who gave so much for us. What are we doing for Jesus? I believe when you and I stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ as Christians, we're not going to have any excuses for not serving the Lord down here on this earth. You may be the only Christian in your home, but friend, you can be a Christian. You can be a wonderful testimony if you're the only one in your class at school. If you're the only Christian on the job, you can be a Christian who is unashamed. I read where a man said this. He said, I am not afraid to die. I'm ashamed to die. How many of us this morning would be ashamed to meet Jesus, even though we're saved? Today we're going to look at three times that you and I need not be ashamed of the Lord. First of all, we don't need to be ashamed at conversion. We do not need to be ashamed to walk down the aisle trusting the Lord as our Savior. There are two key verses today. They're going to be Romans 1:16 that says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In 1 John 2:28, that says, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. First of all, we need not be ashamed at conversion. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Jesus said when he was here on the earth, in Matthew 10:32-33, he said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. No wonder Romans 10:9-10 are such two wonderful verses. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that's the gospel, shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We do not need to be ashamed to walk down the aisle and confess Jesus before men. He wasn't ashamed of us. A few years ago, I was visiting Brother Archie Everidge's dad over here at the hospital. And his son, John, Brother Archie Everidge's brother, was there visiting. He's the one that ran the funeral home in Hanlon. Before I left that hospital room, John Everidge said to me, would you lead us in prayer? And John started crying. I had prayer there, and I said this to John. I believe the only thing that you need to do to become a Christian is to confess the Lord before men. John is in eternity. He died a few years ago. I trust John was a Christian. My friend, we don't need to be ashamed of Jesus. It says in the book of John, I believe it is, then they willingly received him in the ship. We have to willingly receive Jesus. Zacchaeus joyfully received Jesus at the foot of that sycamore tree. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. I want you right now to think in your mind, if you're a Christian this morning, think of the time, the day or night or whenever it was that you trusted the Lord. Think of when you made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wants us to come to Him, not be ashamed of Him. I believe, second, we don't need to be ashamed. We need today to be unashamed in life. Unashamed to confess the Lord before men as we live daily here on this earth. We may be the only Bible someone's going to read. Verse 8 of 2 Timothy 1 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul was saying here to Timothy, don't be ashamed of your testimony for the Lord. He was also saying here, don't be ashamed of me. Paul knew that he had led this young man to the Lord. In fact, Paul called Timothy his son in the faith. Do you and I have any children in the faith? Have we ever led anyone to Jesus? I trust every one of us here, if we never have led anyone to the Lord, that we'll look to Him and have Him to give us courage to talk to someone this week about trusting the Lord as their Savior. Paul said, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And furthermore, don't be ashamed of me. I'm the Lord's prisoner. I met the Lord on the road to Damascus. He says here, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Paul says, whereunto, he's talking here about the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He says, I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. You know what? Paul got in trouble by preaching the gospel. I'm glad today that John 3:16 can never be exhausted. The gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. One of my favorite verses, if not my favorite, is the 12th verse here of 2 Timothy 1. Paul says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Paul is saying here, I've gotten in trouble many a time by preaching the gospel. And he identifies what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You know what it says in Psalms? And Peter preached on this at Pentecost. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Peter preached the gospel at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. Don't be ashamed of Jesus and laugh. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. I read somewhere or heard where there was a police officer who became a Christian, and he said this. He said, I had rather confront a robber on the street than to go up to a door and knock on it to witness. You know what? God is able to give us strength. He's able to give us the courage to be unashamed, to knock on a door and say to those living there, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? There was a mother one time said, my son is making a name for himself in the world. Someone said this to her, which world? Which world? I had rather have my name in the Lamb's Book of Life today and to know I was saved than to have my name in 10-foot-high letters that a million people could see. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know where I stand, Paul said. I met the Lord that day. I know whom I have believed. Paul went on here in verse 12 and said, And I am persuaded that he is able. When you and I are not able, he is. I know that as much as I'm standing behind this desk today. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I believe that is the kind of confidence that you and I need to have in the Lord. Tonight we're going to be preaching on Romans chapter 8, another one of my favorite passages in the Bible. There's a lot in that chapter, and I'd like to invite you out tonight to the evening service. Paul says here, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In Romans 1:16, again Paul said, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. And those who know Greek, what the New Testament was written in, this word power is the exact word from which we get the word dynamite. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the dynamite of God. God's wonderful gospel, which is taken into our hearts by faith, can blow beer cans right out of your refrigerator. I know that to be a fact. God's wonderful Holy Spirit can enter into our homes, into our life, and make us a new creature in Christ. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. It is the dynamite. The gospel of Christ is the dynamite that'll clean up our lives and help us to be a witness and a testimony. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone. To everyone that believeth, there's the key. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, Paul said that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. We preached on this a few Sundays ago, that Philippians 1:20. Peter says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Don't be ashamed of Jesus in life. Peter said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every time I believe we give a testimony for the Lord, whether it be at work to some unsaved person, or whether it be at church, or wherever. Every time we give a testimony, if it's just a few words, I believe we grow a little bit in the Lord. If we tell someone else and witness to someone about our faith, the Daily Bread had this thought for the day one time. It says, sanctification, which that word means growing more like the Lord. Sanctification is like riding a bicycle. Either you keep moving forward or you fall down. I like the song the choir sang this morning, Press Along to Glory Land. Last, I believe we should be unashamed at life's end. The verse I've harped on a lot here, that's 1 John 2:28 that says, and now, little children, abide in Him. This word abide means to live to the fullest, the life that the Lord would have you to live. This word is in John 15 that says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And now, little children, abide in Him. Be all the Lord wants you to be. That when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. I know as much as I'm here this morning that the Lord is coming. I don't know when He's coming, but if it only said this one time in the Bible, I'd believe it. It's in there many times. The Lord is coming. The day or the hour is unknown. Only God the Father knows, but He's coming. Jesus is coming. And there's only two ways to meet Jesus, I believe, and that's with confidence or to be ashamed. I trust will not be the way the fellow that I mentioned a while ago, he said, I'm not afraid to die, I'm ashamed to die. Be unashamed to confess Jesus before men at conversion. I trust there has been a time in your life when you said yes to Jesus, when you've had your name inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. I trust today we're unashamed to confess the Lord daily to some unsaved person. I trust we'll be unashamed at life's end. Brother Merle Collins visited Lucas this past Sunday. And he and Lucas had a time of prayer together. Lucas prayed. He's up there now, I believe. There are two things that are unpredictable. One is death. I like what Mark or Luke Walters, one of those brothers, said last night up there at the service we had. So many times death is sudden. People don't linger a year or two a lot of times. Death is sudden. We need to be ready at death or the rapture of the church. One of those two things is going to catch us, either prepared or unprepared. We're going to meet God someday. I have this written down here. Sometimes we have just enough Christianity to make us miserable. The Lord wants us to get out. There was a fellow in the Old Testament had a vision. The water was up to his ankles, and then it got up to his knees. And then he got waist deep, and then he said he had to swim. The Lord wants us to be busy about His work. And I trust 1985-86 will be a profitable year for our church. It's my prayer. I trust Jesus will be seen in each one of us as we meet the world tomorrow. There's another verse in next week's Sunday school lesson. That's a wonderful verse. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body." Press along to glory land. Press along. The Lord is with us. Our invitation hymn today is page 217, "Just As I Am." That's the way the Lord would have us to come to Him, just as we are. And my prayer right now for you is that you'll be unashamed to walk down this aisle to confess Jesus if you've never done that. If you've never confessed the Lord before men, no better time on this first day of September 1985 to say yes to the Lord. And let us rejoice with you. If you're a Christian today and have some decision to make, there's no better time on this first day of 1985-86 Sunday school year to start out afresh. You may want to dedicate your life to the Lord. Whatever your decision, as we stand to sing, Brother Tom comes to lead us. "217, Just As I Am."